Tomorrow is July 22nd. Not necessarily a notable date. But if you take the month's number, 7, and the day, 22, write it as the Europeans do, 22/7, or 22/7, you will get an approximation of pi, 3.14. And so tomorrow is casual pi day. I asked Edmund Harris, math professor at the University of Arkansas, to come in to talk about pi. He began by talking about approximations.
So if we start off with how we do numbers, we start off with whole numbers. We have a system we can write whole numbers, as many as we want. And then from there we can get into fractions, which give us a nice system. And with fractions, we can get between any two fractions, you can always put in another one. So we get a system which can sort of go as small as we like. Unfortunately, that system doesn't give us everything. And pi is one of these irrational numbers that just can't be written as a fraction. But we can define it because we can look at a circle and we can say, well, how does the radius or the diameter of a circle relate to the circumference? In other words, if we go across the circle, how does that relate to going round the circle?
Who discovered that this number was, I mean, how did they come up with it? How did mathematicians come up with this?
Well, it really goes back as far as we have decent records. But the point is that a circle is a very natural shape. So before mathematicians, it was needed by builders.
The wheel.
Yeah. or drawing a circle. Actually, there's even a quote in the Bible which sort of defines the value of pi, and that is, and he made a molten sea 10 cubits from one brim to the other. It was round all about, and his height was 5 cubits, and a line of 30 cubits did compass it about, and that's from the first book of Kings, and that obviously gives a value of pi of 3, because in some sense, the diameter is 10 and the circumference is 30.
So close.
It's the closest whole number.
Yeah.
And actually, Rabbi Nehemiah in AD 150, who was one of the earliest Jewish mathematicians that we have records of, he said that the error came because you measured the brim from the inside of the edge to the across, whereas you measured around from the outside of the brim. So there was a sort of thickness to the vessel that was being described, and that's where the slight discrepancy came in. And actually, he gave 22/7 as an approximation of pi.
Okay, well, there you go.
But I think the idea of where it comes from is, well, the circle is obviously this form. But the amazing thing about pi is not that it's the ratio of the circumference to the diameter of a circle. For any shape has a similar number.
Any shape has a similar number to pi?
Yeah.
Okay.
So for example, for a hexagon, it's 3. If you look at the diameter of a regular hexagon, that is, and then you look at the circumference, that will be 3 times the diameter.
Is it different for a triangle, though?
No, well, it depends on what you mean by a triangle. If it's the same shape of triangle, you'll have the same basic property. But what's the amazing thing about pi is that it doesn't just describe the ratio of the circumference to the radius of the circle. It also describes the area of a circle.
And that's where pi r square comes in.
It's the fact that it's the same number for both pi r squared and in 2 pi r.
So the radius squared times pi?
Yeah.
Right.
And that's what makes it an amazing number. The fact that you can now do both the area and the distance properties of circles. And I think it was important because of this relationship with circles.
So it's just, it's all over geometry. It's all over. Yeah.
And again, we're going back to the approximations. Archimedes used, we've already mentioned, regular polygons. And that was one way that people started to work out better and better approximations for pi and started to get a sense that maybe you can't get it ever exact in terms of fractions. And he worked out that it was between 223 over 71 and 22 over 7.
Is as close as you're ever going to get to the actual number?
No, he just said it was somewhere in that gap.
Okay.
We now have far more precise, and we have pi to billions of digits.
Right.
About the same time, the Chinese mathematician Lu Hui was using similar methods based on polygons to look. You can put a polygon inside the circle and a polygon outside. And you know that the polygon inside the circle must have a shorter circumference, and the one outside must have a longer circumference.
Well, yeah.
And so you can now use that to get estimates, numbers that are going to be definitely bigger, numbers that are going to be definitely smaller. And you can, so from there, you can squeeze tighter and tighter in on pi. The one interesting thing is that if you take, we're thinking about pi as a decimal with a 3.14.
Right.
And all the methods we have for generating the digits of pi in decimal, you have to find them in order. So if you need to find the thousandth digit of pi, you need to find the first 999 before you do that. So it's sort of you get better and better approximations. You can't get more accuracy until you've done all the work up to that point.
Why would you need to know the 1,000th digit of pi? Why?
Well, it's an interesting mathematical challenge is the main reason. Finding better, quicker algorithms. I think by the time you get to the 1,000th digit of pi, level of accuracy you're using is far smaller than even if you consider the whole universe at the scale of the Planck constant, which is the shortest distance we can observe. You're probably well beyond that. Not at the 1,000th digit, but at some point you can get to that. And at the billions of digits we have, our accuracy beyond anything we can ever measure or need to use. Where it becomes worthwhile is it's a great way of testing computers. Testing your ability to program. It's a sort of good challenge.
So if a computer can get to the 1,000th digit, is that what you mean?
It's a way of writing an algorithm. Can you get to the 1,000th digit quicker? And if you can get to the 1,000th digit quicker, this is why there's now a competition. People show off how fast their computers are by finding more and more digits of pi. And it's finding cleverer ways to find the digits. And you're showing the power of the computer by being able to go 1,000 digits. It can be done on anyone's phone these days. But when you get to billions and billions and billions of digits, it's a great challenge. And I mean, in some ways, you could equate it to what's the value of throwing a javelin a long distance?
Right.
Well, it shows you're capable of it. It's
right.
That human challenge. The actual effect, historically you throw a javelin so you'd hit something and get some food or kill your enemy. But now it's just a feat of strength.
Right, like in the Olympics. I mean, they're just doing it to prove that they can, and to prove how far.
So I think these days pi is, and it's a sport, if you will. And it's often used by companies to say, look how this big, or universities say, look how big our computer is, we can go this far with digits of pi.
So with that being said, is it still useful as far as, making circles and things like that?
Well, 22 yeah. over 7, let's come back to that. The one of the reasons that is such a classic result is that that is a really useful approximation. The next, if you want to look at fractions that approximate pi, the next best one is 333 over 106. And that's getting into numbers which are rather hard to take advantage of.
That's what I was going to say. It's much further away from 22 and 7.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whereas 22 over 7, you can quite easily measure out in various ways. And so there's some people have used, I think it's 25 over 8. And that's probably because if you look at most rulers, they don't give you a seventh. They give you, but they do give you eighths and sixteenths
of an inch, and yeah.
And so you can measure. If you want to make a rope that's roughly a circle, you can measure out your what radius you want, and then multiply by 44/7, and that gives you the amount of rope you need. And just by making that rope meet up and making it as circular as you can, you get not a bad approximation for a circle. Or if you need to estimate materials you'll need, and 22/7 is a pretty good approximation. For most purposes, we don't need billions of digits. That will do.
Edmund Harris is a math professor at the University of Arkansas.